Could you explain to us a little bit more about how this ruling seems to have been reached?
Yes, so this has been a campaign that's run for decades. There's been a few attempts to build a third runway. The Heathrow Airport is at capacity and has been for some time. And it has been through various iterations, and there was a proposal perhaps to build another airport further up the Thames River, and then there was a decision taken several years ago to actually site it at Heathrow. That then led to a very strong campaign from residents against it. And then there were a number of appeals using a variety of methods, and then it ended up in the national court system. And as you mentioned in the intro, it's now gone to the Court of Appeal, where it's being knocked back.
Were you surprised at all by the result?
I was a little bit surprised. This is obviously a major project. But it, on legal grounds, it was clear that the government simply hadn't considered its international obligations under the Paris Agreement. But possibly even more than that is it became apparent during the court case that the government had relied on legal advice that basically said it should not consider the climate change implications when making a decision on the third runway. So there was the bigger, you know, what are the commitments under the Paris Agreement conversation, but there was also the fact that internally the government had really done the wrong thing and had ignored particular and very pertinent evidence in deciding whether to approve this bit of infrastructure.
In terms of that larger conversation you mentioned there about, you know, looking at our international obligations as various nations, obviously environmental planning laws have been in place in many, many countries, Australia included, for years and years now. But have they really taken into consideration, has the regulations really started to take into consideration agreements like the Paris Agreement and concerns like climate change?
They are starting to. So the UK is actually ahead of us. And the interesting thing there is they have bipartisan support for climate action. So Boris Johnson, the current PM, who's a Conservative, opposes the new runway, for instance. And under Theresa May, when she was the PM, also a Conservative, they recently increased their national climate emissions targets to a net zero target by mid-century. So, you know, it's quite remarkable that there is this bipartisan support, whereas we don't have that here in Australia. Their Climate Change Act was one of the earlier ones and dates back to about 2008. And Australia at one point was going to kind of model what they were doing. And those older laws are now starting to impact decision making around infrastructure like this and around the climate change implications. So certainly in the UK and to a lesser degree in Europe, it's starting to impact on government decisions. Here in Australia, not as yet, although in places like Victoria, we have a Climate Change Act in Victoria, which has a similar net zero target by 2050, and it would require the government to take climate considerations into account when taking decisions on infrastructure. So it's an issue that's emerging basically as we speak, that some jurisdictions are starting to assess climate impacts in making these decisions. Probably it's safe to say the majority are not, but considerable proportion are considering doing so in future.
Obviously, we've seen the Adani mine greatly debated up in Queensland, but are there many cases we're seeing currently affected or being debated around this kind of legislation?
Yes, I think there is. So this was obviously done under national legislation in the UK, so we can't kind of replicate it. But in Australia, at the state level, we do generally have, through the environmental protection agencies, we have state-level legislation around emissions. In some instances, that does include regulation of carbon. So there's a very strong debate, for instance, in Western Australia off the northwest shelf around a very large liquid natural gas development at present, which is being challenged in a similar vein on climate change grounds and the fact that the government did not take into account the climate change implications of assessing and approving that particular offshore gas project. So there will be more of these. And I think, for instance, in Victoria, which is a little bit advanced on some of the other states, and it does have an act that binds the state to year-on-year emissions reductions, and yet at the same time it's approving major projects like major roadways like the North East Link, which is a very large freeway project in the northeast side of the city, these sort of projects will start to be contested on legal grounds because of the climate change implications. So climate litigation is something that's been growing over the last decade, and now it's just starting to play out in Australia.
And just before I do let you go, I mean, this one also obviously feeds into the issue of the travel industry and the way in which it contributes to carbon emissions. Obviously, a lot of climate change activists, as we mentioned before, we're very pleased about this because the third runway was going to bring in a whole bunch more planes. More planes means more carbon emissions. Do we see any real regulation emerging around that particular area?
No, at this point, the aviation industry is starting to grapple with the question of climate change, and there's conversation around basically a net zero emissions by 2050 target, as is the case in the UK. That would involve transition, for instance, to the use of sustainable biofuels, and then there's a whole conversation around where do you source that material and that impact on existing tropical forests, and does it start to compete with poor people for food? So it's a very complex conversation, but aviation is starting to grapple with it. Some of the airlines are noticeably more efficient than others, and partly to a degree that's around how old is your fleet, and the more recent fleets tend to be more efficient. It's complex, but the problem is industry never wants to be constrained by regulation. So they're trying to get ahead of the game and put in place voluntary measures that they hope will supplant the need for government regulation. Our feeling is that ultimately we will need a global compact around air travel, because even though it's a small percentage of greenhouse gas emissions at present, it is one that's growing very, very rapidly. So that's a kind of an interesting international space that it's worth keeping an eye on in coming years.
Absolutely. Cam, thank you very much. Do appreciate your time this morning.
You're welcome.